All right. What's up, everyone? It's the People's Fit Coach, Sincere Hogan, inside the New Warrior Nation, where I bring you some of the best coaches out there with the best expertise, best advice in the health and fitness world, and just dispelling all the crap out there, because there's a load of crap. So guess what? You know me. I don't hang around the crap mongers. I only bring you the best. And today is no exception. Got my homie in the house right now. My man Mike Mahler is here. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, anytime. You know, you're always welcome here. And for those who don't know who Mike Mahler is, well, first of all, get from under that rock and come up here to the surface. Okay, so my man Mike, he's based out of Las Vegas, a strength and conditioning coach. Mike's been in the game for quite some time now, putting out quality fitness information for, since 2003, Mike?
Is that correct? I've been doing it since about 2002, actually. So I just passed the nine-year mark this past April.
Oh, man, it's almost a decade of games, bro. That's what I'm talking about.
So, you know, it's funny when I first started, people were like, yeah, this is like my first year in the business. It's like, yeah, we'll see what he's got going on in 10 years. We'll see if he's still in the game. It's like, yeah, I'm still in the game, buddy, and I'll be here as long as I want to be here.
Now what? So, yeah, man, for most of you guys, probably, if you have heard of Mike, you probably know him from the kettlebell world and in the last few years in the world of hormone optimization, which Mike's been doing his dirt, man. He's really been putting in work and really learning about the hormone optimization game. He's really helped me out a lot. My programming has really improved, and just my overall quality of life has really improved from the information that I've gotten from Mike and our good friend Dr. Peter Rouse. Man, these guys are issuing out like all types of great information. But what we're talking about today, Mike is doing like a complete 180, which that's what Mike does. So don't get too used to him in one category and try to pigeonhole him, because now he's about to come at you with something different. Today is a totally different aspect of the strength game, but what I do like about what we're talking about today and one of Mike's latest products, it's a DVD Mike just released with strength coach Mark Phillippe, which, dude, that's a legend right there. We'll talk about Mark in just a second. But with this, Mike is doing a total 180 from what you guys are used to. So this is not about kettlebells per se. Okay, and it's not necessarily about hormone optimization, but this right here is going back to the basics of the strength game. This is talking about the power exercises. I'm talking about the things that, you know, most men, this is what we were forged in, you know, during sports and during high school and just during our training. We're going back to the basics. We're talking about the old school stuff. We're talking about bench, squats, deadlifts, and much more. But it's a different perspective on this. The thing is, why I say it's different, the fact is this is actually going back to the basics and making it exciting once again. The reason why I say that's different, because there are a lot of ass clowns out there trying to do some really stupid stuff in the gyms just to say, hey, I'm different. Yeah, you're different. They got a word for people who are different. Strange and queer. You pick one. Okay. So, I wouldn't want either one of those. So here we go. So that's why I brought Mike on today. We're going to talk about this DVD. It's a great DVD, people. You're going to love it. Anybody that's into the strength game and wants to get better, this is a DVD for you. And you know what? You're going to take my word for it. You're going to hear about it right now from my man, Mike. So, Mike, let me start with this, okay? I remember almost around this time last year, I remember seeing you posting on your Facebook page, you know, that you started a new training program. And it was way different, because one thing I will give you props for, you share a lot. You give a lot of free information out there along with the products that you sell. And, I mean, you're very giving of yourself. A lot of great quality information. You like to share. You share your training tips and your programming. And so you were sharing this new program that you started, but I noticed that, you know, the kettlebell started dwindling in this program. Started to see a lot of, like, barbell action happening. I'm like, oh, what's going on right here? So I'm like, okay, is Mike getting ready to step into some powerlifting now? What's happening? and then, you know, you revealed that you were working with Mark Phillippe, and I got to work with you and Mark a few years back at the Collision Course. In fact, that was one of the main reasons why I signed up for that seminar that you had put together, because I wasn't going to pass up the chance to work with someone who, you know, I pretty much watched in the early, probably like my latter younger years of strength training, you know, through the World's Strongest Man competitions. And, I mean, here's who would pass up that opportunity. But so it really got my interest that you were working with Mark. So let me ask you this. What brought you, how did you hook up with Mark and why?
Yeah. The project came from a lot of reasons. And one thing a lot of people don't realize is that I trained with barbells and dumbbells for over 10 years before I even heard of a kettlebell. So my foundation is in regular weight training. It's not like I'm a guy who never worked out and then I came across kettlebells and then that's what I used to get fit. I worked I put up good numbers on the deadlift, the bench press, pull-ups, you name it, way before I ever heard of kettlebells. I've been into serious training since I was around 18. But one of the things is I was clueless, just like every other 18-year-old male. So what do you do when you're 18 and you first start lifting weights? You focus on bench press and curls, and that's it. And we still see people make this rite of passage mistake at every gym in America. And I made so many blunders until I finally learned how to put everything together through lots of years of research and talking to people, et cetera. So really, whenever I make a video project, I always think of what is interesting to me. And the mistake a lot of trainers make is they always think, what's going to make me money? And they're always chasing money. What's going to make me money? What's going to make me money? That's their mindset. And that's the wrong mindset to have, because you want to make something that you're actually going to get genuinely excited about. If you're not genuinely excited about it, you're doing it just to make money. People are going to know about it, and the quality is just not going to be there because you're not going to put in that work that you need to make a great product. So I always look at what gets me excited. And here's what got me excited about Mark. I've been friends with Mark for a while. I've taught many seminars at his place. I've always thought he's a great guy. He's one of those guys that whenever you get a chance to talk to him, you find that you're not saying a word, because he's dispelling so much wisdom that if you're smart, you keep your mouth shut and you listen to what he has to say. Because he has the very rare combination of being an elite strength athlete. He competed in strongman level at a very high level, won many U.S. competitions, and he almost won an international competition. And he's a drug-free athlete. And let's be honest, most of his competitors were probably juiced to the gills, but he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And as people might say, well, who knows if that's true or not? I was like, well, I know Mark well enough that I believe that he's telling me the truth. I believe he's a man of integrity, and maybe I'm being naive, but honestly – people who use a lot of juice generally have a certain look. Mark doesn't have that look, and I'll just leave that at that. But also, Mark has the combination of not only being a strength athlete, but he actually taught at UNLV. So he has the rare combination of being very well-versed in academia when it comes to strength and conditioning, as well as being a strength athlete. Now, how many people in our industry can even say that? I can't even think of any other person that falls into that category.
Oh, no.
So Mark's incredible. He has real-world experience, and he has academic experience. You get both when you work with a guy like that. So it was always in the back of my head that he's someone I wanted to work with further, but he's busy, I'm busy, the opportunity never really presented itself. And then one day I'm sitting around watching UFC Countdown, and it was one of Frank Mir's upcoming fights. And all of a sudden, Frank Mir's on the screen, and I'm like, whoa, what happened to him? Because he's big and he's ripped and he's strong. I was like, what's he been doing? And then like a minute later, they introduced his trainer, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was Mark Phillippe. And Mark just kind of broke down what he did with Frank. They focused on very basic movements, pressing, deadlifts, power cleans, etc. Did a lot of prowler pushes, tire flips, that kind of thing. But no isolation work, no tricep pushdowns, no barbell curls, no lunges, none of that kind of stuff. Just real compound exercises. And he explains that's how Frank made this transformation. And I'm sitting there watching this going, I bet a lot of other people would love to know more about Mark's training system, especially after watching this clip. Because we got a little snippet of it, but we didn't really get any details. It was a promo clip for the fight, not on strength and conditioning. So right after I saw that, I called up Mark and said, hey, great work. I saw you on UFC Countdown the other day, and I'd love to stop by and talk to you about a potential DVD project that we can collaborate on. So I stopped by his office, and I basically explained to him that I'd like to go through a 3 to 4 month program with him on basically getting stronger. I don't really care about getting bigger, but I wanted to get stronger and also get more athletic, more strength endurance, more work capacity. Those were the goals. And then we would make a video based on the concepts after that. But I wanted to go through it personally so that I understand exactly what his philosophy is as a trainee, as an athlete, a student, et cetera. I didn't want to just interview him and then let's go make a video. And that's one of the reasons why the video is so good, is because I'm able to ask all the right questions because I understand what he's all about going into it. So I'm not asking a bunch of moronic questions that are just irritating. I'm asking questions that are relevant. And the thing about Mark is he's at such a high level that he often forgets what people at a very basic level need. Because the funny thing is, like I mentioned on Superhuman Radio yesterday, like after I came up with the concept of the video, I'm like, hey, let's do a video called Mastering the Power Exercises, where we cover the power lifts, Olympic lifts, auxiliary lifts, like floor presses, front squats. And I'm all excited about it. And Mark just looks at me and he's kind of like, you think anyone's going to buy that? And I was like, I did before I came in here and you said that. And then I basically had to explain it to him. I'm like, look, man, if you and I went to any gym right now in Las Vegas, what are we going to see? We're going to see a really bad bench press technique, and we're not even going to see squatting and deadlifting because people don't even realize why they should do it. Most
right.
people just do the bench press with really crappy form. So even if we just did a video on the bench press, we're providing a service because the bench press has a lot of technique when you know what you're doing, and most people don't. And so Mark, again, he works with athletes all day long. He's working with NFL players. He's working with college athletes, and he's working with guys who really want to up their game. So obviously they have all the basics covered. He doesn't need to teach them how to bench press. He takes them up to a high level. So that's what he's used to seeing day in and day out. So he really doesn't have a pulse on what's going out there. That's what I have, though, because I'm out there teaching all the time. I'm doing kettlebell seminars, beginner ones. I'm writing articles for magazines. I get emails from beginners all day long. So I have a very clear idea on what people need, and to me, this is what people need. Also, the video is a revolt against the trends that are in our business right now. Right now, and I talk about this in my new book called Live Life Aggressively, What Self-Help Gurus Should Be Telling You, but one of the chapters is on how we're all addicted to entertainment, how we have to be entertained all the time. If we're in line at the grocery store, we need to watch TV because, God forbid, we spend 5 minutes doing nothing while we wait for our groceries to be fed up.
Dude, even at gas station, they have TVs right there. I'm like, don't distract me from paying $4.25 for gas. I don't need that distraction.
But it got to the point where, like, you see people go out on a date, and I see this all the time in Vegas, like, right? A guy takes his girl out on a date. What are they doing? They're all texting. They're probably texting each other because they don't know how to talk to each other anymore. You know? I was at the Danzig concert just the last week, and I booked a VIP room for all of us. We're all in there having a blast. And then I look out into the audience, and I would say like 20% of the people are all texting. And I was like, dude, the band is on stage right now, killing it, and you guys are texting each other? And so,
no,
I mean,
I gotta get it on Facebook. I gotta get this on Facebook.
Like, people are always thinking about, like, they have to document every aspect of their life. Like, anyone wants to see it. And the sad reality is, a lot of people do want to see it. That's what's even more pathetic. But I'm sitting there. I mean, I have the cell phone off. I don't want to check my email while I'm watching a concert. That's kind of the whole point of going there. I want to take a break from my life. I'm not going to start working out in the VIP room either. I didn't bring kettlebells with me. You know, get each song, you know. So I mean, we're kind of this entertainment addicted culture where we always have to be stimulated. And what happens with working out is that people are always saying, I'm bored. I'm bored of doing the basics. I'm bored of doing that. So trainers come up with all these stupid exercises like Bosu ball squats and, you know, hold one leg up and do a military press and all that. And they're doing it with people that don't even have decent numbers with the foundation and lifts. So my attitude is this: the strongest men and women got that way from spending a lot of time doing the exercises that give you the most bang for your buck. And those exercises are bench press, squat, deadlift. If those are the three exercises you ever only did, if you only did those exercises 3 times a week for the rest of your life, you would become extremely strong.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Focus on those three things. And then if you just picked the deadlift out of those three and you made that your sole exercise, that's a very functional exercise that everybody should be good at. And very few people are good at the deadlift. So they do it incorrectly and they hurt their back. And then they say, oh, it's a bad exercise. It's like, no, you're not doing it properly. And this happens to a lot of people. They're always very fearful of the deadlift. Like, you know, I did a stiff-legged deadlift with 500 pounds at the gym the other day. And like, people came up to me afterwards, like, are you okay? You know, did you blow your back? And I was like, no, I didn't blow up my back because I know how to do the exercise properly. So I'm fine. I could go back and do it again right now. In fact, I did. You know, I did a couple singles of it that day. So, I mean, it's just there's just so much misunderstanding out there and there's so much confusion. And honestly, it's not completely the consumer's fault because, I mean, you know this. We could go to a bookstore right now and we could pull one book off the shelf that says, okay, here's the best way to train. And then we pull another book off the shelf, which is the complete opposite. And then we pull another book off the shelf that says, oh, everything you just read is dangerous and this is what you should be doing. And people are busy. People are raising their kids. They're going to work. They don't have time to do the research that you and I do. So it's not surprising that people are confused. But that's why I want to make products like Mastering the Power Exercises, because it basically crushes all that confusion. And it's not about me. It's a video where I'm not making a video saying I'm the expert on all those exercises, because I'm not. So what do? I find the best guy, Mark Phillippe, and I said, let's do a video together because this guy's the master on how to do it. And I'm on the video interviewing him just because, again, Mark is at such a high level that he's not really going to think of all the things that I'm asking. So I'm on the video to basically get all of those nuggets out of him. And people loved it. People loved the interplay. They said our energy worked really well together. I'm asking the questions that they want to ask. So people really got a lot out of it. If it were just Mark up there, it probably wouldn't have come out the same way because, again, not because he's not a good coach or trainer, just because he's so high level, he would have forgotten a lot of those rudimentary tips to cover on the context video. But again, this video is all about going back to the basic movements that work. So you're not going to see a bunch of exotic exercises on this video. It's all the barbell. It's all barbell exercises for the most part. And then some of Mark's core work is on there. And his core work is like nothing you've seen before. It's
Dude, the stick work was like, man, I'm just like, wow. Simple stuff like, but again, we overthink things because we're in such a complicated world. Everything has to be so different. It's like, how simple is that? But at the same time, how not simple as that, you know?
The cool thing is it's actually really effective because we did a lot of stick turns and other core work, and you noticed immediately that when you went back to deadlift, you learned how to engage your core right from the onset. And that's one of the best tips on the video is that, look, when you set up to do a deadlift, you breathe in, you set your core, you tighten up the Kegel muscles, then you lift the bar off the ground, and you try to lift it with the legs. You try to lift in a straight line going all the way up.
Right.
So that's the way you do an exercise like that. And the mistake a lot of people make is that they're way too casual. They just kind of bend over with bad form, and then they just try to pick the bar off the ground. And, yeah, of course you're going to get injured when you do something like that. Yeah. And Mark made a great point on Superhuman Radio yesterday. He goes, it's not that there are bad exercises so much. It's that people's technique is bad. And that's a really good statement because – just the other day, I was doing kettlebell snatches at the gym, and one lady's like, wow, that looks cool. I really like the way you do it. You're so fluid. It looks awesome. And then another lady is like, another guy is like, that looks like it's terrible for your back. You look like you're going to push your back. And this is a guy who has back problems telling me this. I'm like, dude, you're the one with back problems, not me. You know, I'm 37, and I train very hard for a long time. I never, ever have back problems, ever. And it's because my back is so resilient from actually training it. And that's another one of those mistakes people make is they actually think that you should never do anything to work your back. And that's why they have problems, because they have a weak back. So you got I mean, it's probably the most important muscle to work is back, lower back, and legs. You really can't do better. But I mean, those are the exercises where nobody gets excited about it because you don't see those. You don't see your back in the mirror. So we always want to work on the show muscles like biceps and chest and so forth. Those are not the functional exercises. Those are not the ones that are going to be the most valuable for your longevity and serve as an anti-aging purpose.
Exactly. And I'm always stressing, like, to my clients, you know, I'm always telling you, like, you know, probably the most important muscles that you have are the ones you can't see. And then guess what? They're also the biggest that you can't see. And guess what? Those are the ones you always talk about, fat loss and things like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those are the ones you want to work because they're going to be burning the most calories. You want to get those bad boys working, get the fat off of them, build the muscle on those bad boys. But most importantly, those are the ones that pretty much keep you alive. And that's one thing I do love about the deadlift. And you were just saying that out of the three exercises, like the deadlift is probably like the one that everyone should be doing. The reason why I like the deadlift, because to me, that one emulates real life the most out of all the exercises in the gym. There's so much that we do in our real life that just comes from that same basic movement, picking kids up off the floor, picking groceries up. You know, you drop something, you pick it up. Heck, just even just learning how to fall properly, you know, really the deadlift helps with that because a lot of people even know how to fall. And that's kind of like a foreign concept, like, well, you fall, you're going forward. Well, if you had a little bit more hip flexibility and a lot more control and shift your weight back, you wouldn't fall as hard if you were falling. But guess what? Your stability, first of all, your core stability would be so good, you probably wouldn't be falling anyway. A lot of times people fall because they have a weak core. So well, I think we just lost Mike. Hold on, let me pull him back up right here. We'll come back to part two. Yeah, it looks like he got dropped off the call, folks. We'll come back. Just a second. Yes.
Hi, Sincere, can you hear?
Oh, there
hi, can you hear me?
All right.
Okay, I don't know.
Right.
Sorry about that. Little technical difficulty on this side.
No problem.
I'm still blabbering about a point and it's not even recorded. That's too funny, man. No, but I was
kind of worried. I'm like, okay, I'm just going on and on. I don't even think anyone heard me just now.
Okay, I was talking to someone and I got disconnected, but he didn't realize it. And he went on like this 20-minute spiel. And then finally I called him up and I was like, sorry, you're going to have to repeat all that again. And he was like, oh.
Nice.
Like the wonders of technology. No, but like just what you were saying about how to roll into a fall. I mean, last winter I slipped on a piece of ice and I immediately rolled into it like I would on the way you basically sit back into a Turkish getup. It's because I've done that movement so many times that I just rolled right into it. I didn't hurt myself at all. And,
Right.
you know, I like to go hiking in Red Rock a lot as well, which is a beautiful place for anyone ever visits Las Vegas. Like when you come out here, we'll definitely go up there.
Dude, I just saw pictures from Jennifer Hindenburger. I just happened to see the picture of that last night. I was like, why haven't I ever seen this in Las Vegas all the times I've been there? I have to go there.
This is another side of Las Vegas, so we'll definitely take you there. But I like to go to one of the more workout areas where basically you're running up a mountain where you're doing a lot of climbing. I mean, if you count the number of squatting motions you do, you're probably doing hundreds by the time you get to the top of the hill. Now, my dog Grover is very athletic, so he'll go with me on that. But the funny thing is that on the way down, you watch people walk back on the way down. I mean, they're basically crawling because they're so worried about falling. And what's funny is they're so worried about falling that half the time they start falling, they trip over stuff and so forth. Now, to contrast that, me and Grover are running down the mountain. I mean, we're running down the mountain like at full speed. We're jumping over rocks. We're landing perfectly. We're jumping out of the way of trees. And you know, I'm feeling like Daniel Day-Lewis in Last of the Mohicans. You know, I'm having a blast, and I can hear that song in my head. You know, like I got to get there one day with that song in my iPod and just run down that mountain and be a blast. But anyway, we're having and like people look at us like we're psycho. They're like, oh my God, look at that dude. He's going to kill himself. But the reality is that all the training I do basically prepares me for that. And it's also another point that I kind of have to laugh with a lot of people who work out all the time. Like I have clients who work out all the time, yet they're not very active people. So in other words, outside of their workouts, they don't do anything. They sit at a
No.
desk, they watch TV. And I go, you guys are missing the whole point on training. To me, the whole point on training is how it enhances all other areas of your life. So for
Exactly.
example, I can go to Red Rock and I can run up the mountain at full speed. I can run down at full speed, have a blast. And I can do that because I'm fit and I'm strong. And other people can't do that because they're out of shape and they're weak and they're dying. I mean, the people are like huffing and puffing, trying to get up there and back. A lot of people can't even do it. They'll just look at it and just turn around and say, forget it. So,
Oh
I mean,
yeah,
the
dude,
few
it's hilarious.
people that try to do it at least are trying, but they're having a really hard time. Most people won't even try. And they're really missing out because when you get up to that top of that, the view is off the hook. I mean, the view is
Exactly.
incredible. It's
That's
worth
the
all the
payoff.
work. And the payoff is also just knowing that you can do it. You know, just knowing that you can run up there at full speed, no problem, and get back down, no problem. That's kind of empowering. And it's fun too. It's fun to be active like that. So I mean
Oh
that to
yeah.
me is the real payoff of training. It's not even so much the actual workout, but what you can do with it in other areas. And I think and I write about this in my book too, is that another mistake people make when working out is the fact that they're so attached to the result of their actions. I mean, they are just, it's just on their mind all the time. And this is something that's placed in our culture quite a bit. You got to have a lot of goals, and then you should be focused on your goals all the time. And that's all fine and good. But the ironic side of that is the fact that you're less likely to achieve your goals when you're so attached to it. And the reason why is because when you're that attached to something in the future, it's impossible to live in the present. And when you're not
Right.
fully in the present, when you're not fully in the present, you're not gonna be able to create excellence in your actions. So that future is never gonna come. It's gonna evade you. So it's kind of like you have to have a target in the back of your head. Like I get that. You kind of have to have a direction you want to go in, and then you want to forget all about that direction and just focus on what are you doing today, right now, and you focus on excellence in that moment. And this is like kind of a samurai concept. Like a samurai, everything they work on from sharpening their sword to practicing their technique is full presence in the moment and not overthinking it either, just being fully immersed in what you're doing to the point where you don't have to think about it. And it's a concept that in the West, people have a really hard time with because we're so attached to where we want to go. And the
The
problem
American
also is
dream
that.
and all this other madness being sold to us, like, you know, you gotta have
Exactly.
this, you gotta have that, and basically you're not worth crap now if you don't have these things or you're not working toward these things. The
Another
thing is,
thing I talk
it's
about in the
fame.
book is that it's exactly. Another thing I talk about in the book is how it's impossible to be happy if you're so concerned about what everyone thinks of you. I mean, think about how much energy people waste worrying about what people think of them. And most of the time, they're worrying about people they don't even know, like their neighbors or there's some stranger or like the guy at the grocery store. Who cares, man? I mean, why are you even cognizant of what they think?
Oh,
It
dude, my
really
wife
cracks
laughs at
me
me
up.
all the time. My wife laughs at me all the time. Like, you know, I'll sit there and I'll say something, whatever. And she's like, baby, I said, you know me. I don't know these people, especially like when we're out of town. Like, I'll never see these people again. I could care less. You know? know, I have my mother's attitude. I'm like, hey, are they paying my light bill? If they're not paying my light bill, they can suck it,
Yeah, it just kind of cracks me up, man. But the whole thing about, and this is from a Hindu text called the Bhagavad Gita, which really emphasizes the whole notion of don't be attached to the results of your actions. It's like you have the right to your actions, but not the results. And I first read that when I was 17, and I had no clue what that meant. I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, right. How could you not be attached to the results of your actions? Isn't that the whole point of actions, to get the results? And I never really understood it until I was in my 30s that the real payoff is not the results. The real payoff is the actual process, the actual action phase. I mean, that's the stuff you're going to look back and miss. You're not really going to look back and go, oh, man, that day I achieved this was so great. You're going to look back and go, man, that process was a blast. That time I taught that seminar with Ken Blackburn Sincere was awesome. You're going to be thinking about stuff like that. The results are always going to be anticlimactic if you're focused on them. They're not anticlimactic if you don't. But what's funny is I go into workouts now with this concept. I mean, in the past, I've always been very attached to my workouts, like, oh, I got to hit this number by this date, or I got to make this happen, or I got to military press double 88s 10 times, otherwise I'm wasting my time. And now I go into a workout with, I'm going to focus on having a good time, and I'm going to focus on excellence. I'm going to focus on perfect technique. I'm going to focus on perfect breathing. I'm just going to focus on practice. I'm focused on working. And what's funny is the results have been a lot better without being attached to the results. And also my enjoyment of the workout is a lot better too, rather than being overly attached to a point where sometimes, like if a workout, like for people who really like the workout, when a workout doesn't go their way, it ruins their entire day. You'll even hear it like, oh man, I worked out. It was a crappy workout. Now my day is ruined. It's like, dude, you're an idiot. It's like, if that's all it takes to ruin your day, you don't have any real problems, buddy. I'll tell you that. It's like, okay, so you think your day is ruined. Let me take you over to a kid's hospital and we'll talk to some kids who have cancer or who are burn victims or have AIDS. And why don't you tell them about how your day is ruined and see what they have to say about
it. Just go to Walter Reed Hospital. Look at our soldiers who come back home, you know, who are like having brain injuries and, you know, missing limbs. You know, you want to talk about a bad day? Really?
Yeah. I mean, people are so self-absorbed that – and that's why you're not happy. I mean, if you're really self-absorbed or you're always thinking about poor me, poor that, you're never going to be really happy. And right. Studies have shown that – and again, this is something I talk about in my book. I have a whole chapter on happiness, is that studies have shown that people that are really happy are people that engage in acts of gratification. And that means helping people, helping animals, you know, basically doing something where you feel that you're improving the lives of someone else. And I can right. definitely attest to that. I mean, that's the main reason why a lot of us got into this business. I certainly didn't get into this business with money as my motivator because, frankly, I didn't even see a lot of people making good money when I got into the business. I got into the business because this is what I'm made to do. I mean, I tried to avoid it for a long time, working in the corporate world, doing jobs I hate because I thought that was being practical. But I was miserable doing that. This business, and even when I wasn't making jack, you know, like my first couple years where I'm just wolfing it, just getting by, I was loving it. I was having a great time. I was having a great time because I was just so happy to be doing something that actually makes me feel good and improves the lives of others. So,
yeah,
one
of the reasons why I really love this, man, is the fact that, you know, here's a chance. So people always talk about leaving a legacy. Well, here's a part of leaving a legacy. But for me, it's kind of like it's like a reincarnation type thing. It's like, okay, when I'm in this realm, in this physical body, when I'm gone, I'm still living because I'm doing everything in my power each day to, like, help change people's lives and help them get a better life. And guess what? I want to make sure that I do right by people. So guess what? Those memories carry on. They'll still be talking about me. There'll be things that I help them with that are helping others, and it's going on and on. That's why I've never been a believer in death, in the Western world perception of death. You know, so, and this was like the perfect, this field was a perfect opportunity. It's way better than a certain, like, energy drink, a corporate energy drink I was working with right before this, or even in the music industry. I just felt like with that, it was so temporary. It was a temporary gratification for those I came in contact with, whereas this is life. You know, we're helping people get their lives, dude. So, you know, forget the money. You can't put a price on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. You know, I wake up excited about what I'm doing because I'm excited to work with people. I'm excited to do the research. I'm excited to do my workouts. You know, I've been working out for a long time, and I still go into my workouts excited about it. Like, it's part of my day that I look forward to. But again, I also make sure to be really active outside my workouts. Like I'll put a weight vest on, go walk a couple miles with my dogs. I make a point of going to Red Rock at least every other week. And I want to make it a tradition where I go there every Sunday, because it's just such a blast to get out in the nature and get fresh air and just get away from your mindset and what you're doing, your day-to-day activities. So I think those are the things people need to realize, is that, you know, don't focus on fat loss as your goal. And that may sound crazy to somebody who's 100 pounds overweight, but don't focus on that. Don't focus on getting like, I want to bench press 300 pounds. Don't focus on that. What you should focus on is excellence in what you're doing right now. So obviously you want to have a program that's conducive to those goals. I'm not saying that you should go out and, you know, do Tai Chi and expect to lose 100 pounds. I'm saying that put together a really good program, or hire a trainer to put together a program for you. And when you do that, sorry, I got this other phone ringing. I'm trying to turn it off. But anyway, focus on a really good program, and then focus, and then immerse yourself in the day-to-day activities. Immerse yourself in creating good meals. Immerse yourself in proper restoration, proper sleep. Immerse yourself in excellence in every workout you're doing. And the thing is, not only will you achieve those goals, you're more likely to exceed those goals, and you're more likely to have a good time in the process. Because a lot of people think that when you train, you have to kill yourself to get results, because they watch stupid shows like The Biggest Loser, which are just moronic garbage. And these are not trainers, people. These are basically paid actors that are playing the role of a trainer. They're not trainers. No self-respecting trainer would do what they do. No one would talk to their clients the way they do. I would never talk to someone like that, the way they humiliate their clients and think they're drill sergeants. Like, you guys aren't in the military. So no. don't try to – this is not Navy SEAL training. So it really irritates me when I see someone try to act like they're Louis Gossett Jr. in Officer and a Gentleman, and they've never been in the military. It's like, I'm sure military people watch and just laugh, going, man, these people are clueless. And there, it's all done for a purpose. I understand why boot camp exists in the military, and I understand the importance of it and the purpose of it. But guess what? These people that are 100 pounds overweight, they're not coming to go through a boot camp style. So the problem is, a lot of people watch shows like that and they think, oh, wow, that's the level I have to push it to get the results I want. And the reality is, yes, you have to work out hard, no question about that. But if you're killing yourself like that after every workout, then you're really doing something wrong. And you are going to destroy your endocrinology. Your hormones are going to be destroyed, and you're going to feel like crap. And you're not going to maintain it either, because there's no way you can maintain that level of basically self-destruction, masochistic activity.
And psychologically, you're going to start associating that with pain, and nobody really likes pain. Even people who are into S&M, they're not really into pain. They're into escaping their real life, and that's an escape for them.
Just like exactly.
Drugs. But nobody enjoys pain. I'm sorry. You know, no that, pain.
That's
don't get
exactly,
shut the hell up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's funny that you bring up S&M, because that's exactly why Ken Blackburn told me he engages in that.
Oh my God.
At the house of, well, I can't say anything, but let's just put it this way. It's not the house of Blackburn, and that's why he engages in that activity. And now I think you just hit the nail on the head, Sincere. It explains exactly why Ken engages in the life he engages in.
But
what's funny is, like, everything we're saying is relevant to the video, the power mastering the power exercises video. But really, to get back to all of that and why I wanted to work with Mark is just that I always want to learn and keep getting better. So I mean, anyone who's an expert in something that I want to improve, and I have the opportunity to work with them, I'm going to do it. I never want to be someone who's just a know-it-all who thinks they know everything. Like, oh, I've been working out for 10 years, I've seen it all. It's like, one, you probably haven't, and two, just the fact that you have that mindset means you definitely haven't seen it all, and you definitely don't know it all. Because even someone like Mark is always a student. He's like, I would talk to him about a kettlebell drill, and he'd be like, oh, that's cool, let me try that. And he would focus on, and he would like ask me a bunch of questions on it. And this is a guy who's been working out longer than most people have been alive. So he's still a student. He's still evolving. And that's why, you know, he's one of the best out there, if not the best. And working with him was a blast. So we went through the program where it was a lot of barbell exercises. It was some dumbbell exercises. And he purposely didn't want to have any kettlebells in it, because basically Mark wanted to break me. And that's what we did the first month. He put me on a program where you basically go into severe overtraining by the third week. You're just beaten up. And some people may be going, well, isn't that counterproductive? Didn't you just say that you shouldn't do that kind of training? And I'm not talking about puking in buckets or, you know, I can't move the next day. I'm talking about really nervous system depleting workouts where after the second week, it's just sure will that gets you through it. But here's the interesting thing. Week two, you're weaker. Week three, you're weaker. Week four, bam, you adapt and you rebound. And all of a sudden, your strength goes way up and your work capacity goes way up too. And that's kind of the whole point of that training, is because Mark knows that I'm a guy who's been working out for a long time. You know, he's not going to take someone who's brand new and put them on this kind of protocol. But he's like, okay, Mike's a strong guy. He's a well-conditioned guy already. So I can put him into these treacherous waters and he'll survive. And if he doesn't, then he's not really a guy I want to work with. So that's what I feel was kind of the test, is let's see what Mike is willing to take for this video project. Let's see what he's prepared to do. And my attitude is, there's no way I was going to walk into his gym and just wuss out, because I wouldn't be able to live with something like that. That's just not what I'm all about. You know, it's Mahler's aggressive strength and he wusses out on a workout. You know, you never hear the end of that. So anyway, I went in there and I took all the punishment. And I got a lot of respect from him too, because I didn't whine and complain at all. And he has clients who do that. And it got to the point where whenever someone complained, he would just say, look, he's like, look at Mike over there just going full blast. He never complains. He never says he can't do it. He never questions why we're doing something. He just goes at it full blast. And, you know, Mark is that was Mark's way of basically saying, here's a guy who's earned my respect. And that's when we actually became really good friends during that process. We were always basically friendly before and good acquaintances, but I didn't really know him that well until I went through that 4-month period training with him, because we really had a chance to talk about all kinds of things. So we developed a good friendship through that. But I think there's when you work with a guy like Mark, and this is, you know, especially when you want to make a video with a guy like Mark, if you're just a student coming in, then it's not necessarily whether he has to respect you or not. He's going to help you with your goals. But when someone comes in and says, hey, let's do a video together, it's like, all right, that means my name is going to be associated with yours. Right. And if we're going to have names associated together, then you better be at a certain level of mental toughness or excellence. And that's basically what I feel was the first month was all about, was basically seeing what you're prepared to do. And then when we got into the second and third month, that's where we really focused on improving the bench press and squat and deadlift, trap bar deadlift. These were a lot of my goals. So all my strength went way up. I mean, I was benching like 225 for 4 or 5 reps. I haven't benched in years when I first got there. You know, by the end of the workout, I was benching 225 20 times. I was benching 315 for reps. You know, I was doing trap bar deadlifts with 490 for reps. And I think my max was like 465 before I started working out there. So the strength really went up. But really what went up more than anything else, which was pleasantly surprising, was my work capacity went through the roof. I mean, we would do 90-minute workouts, sometimes 2-hour workouts 4 times a week. But what would happen is my conditioning was so good that I would do his workouts, and then I would do my own kettlebell workout right after.
I was just about to ask you about that. I was going to ask you, you know, what was the, you know, the carryover? Because I was getting ready to ask you about the PRs, but you just addressed that. But, yeah, I was going to ask you, like what kind of carryover did you get from working with Mark that carried over into your typical kettlebell training?